Hello, and thanks for joining Wicker Park Lutheran Church Sermons. Wicker Park Lutheran Church is a diverse ELCA Lutheran congregation in the Wicker Park neighborhood of Chicago. We gather at 10 a.m. to fully live into our incarnational faith as we experience God's presence in the gathered assembly, and we welcome you to join us. In just a moment, you'll first hear with a gospel reading from the associated sermon for the service that you're about to listen to. We hope that that gospel gives you some context before you jump right into the sermon. Thanks for checking us out, and we hope to see you soon.
The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the first chapter. Mary said, "My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior. For he has looked with favor on the lowliness of his servant. Surely, from now on, all generations will call me blessed. For the Mighty One has done great things for me, and holy is his name. His mercy is for those who fear him, from generation to generation. He has shown strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the thoughts of their hearts. He has brought down the powerful from their thrones and lifted up the lowly. He has filled the hungry with good things and sent the rich away empty. He has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, according to the promise he made to our ancestors, to Abraham, and to his descendants forever." The Gospel of the Lord. Gracia y paz de Dios nuestro Padre y del Señor Jesucristo, quien es nuestro Salvador. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, who is our Savior, and the people of God says, all the people of God says, yeah, right? What a wonderful opportunity is this, to be with you in this beautiful day that the Lord has given us. It is an honor for me to be with you, and I can believe that the day has come. I remember when I was speaking with Pastor Jason and the leaders of the congregation, and I just said, maybe one of these days I can come to preach, just thinking that they would tell me, no, don't worry, we are covered. But they told me, yes, you can come to preach. And I said, now I need to work on a Sunday. So I'm here today with you, rejoicing in the Lord, gathered by the Spirit to be fed and strengthened and to be sent into the world to share the good news of the gospel. I bring greetings to you from Bishop Wayne Miller, and on behalf of all the congregations of the Metropolitan Chicago Synod who gathered today with us, and there goes my sermon, gathered with us today to praise God and to thank for all the blessings that we have received. So, you are one of the 183 congregations in the Synod. One of the congregations that I have heard good things. Last year, I met with Pastor Jason, and he was telling me about this congregation. And I need to confess, I don't know if you listen to Shakira, but I do sometimes. And she says when it's necessary to confess, it's better we start by oneself. So I need to confess to you. This is the closest congregation to the Synod office, and I had never been here before. I'm coming to the end of the second term of the Bishop Miller, in the office, and I'm finally with you. And I need to confess, I feel really bad to come almost toward the end of the second term of Bishop Miller. But I am here, and this is what makes me rejoice today. I have heard of the good things that you have been doing. And how is that you have been responding to the call of God to be witnesses in this place? And not only that you have been willing to step out of the patterns and some of the things that have been done for many years in order to rediscover together how is that the Spirit is leading you and where the Spirit is leading you so that you can become the light in the world for many to know and to praise God. Remember in our baptism, let your light made your light shine before others so that others may see it and glorify your Father who is in heaven. So that's why I'm excited today. And when I was looking at the passage, honestly, I was saying, that would be a piece of cake, because I have been preaching the past Sundays, and I have been following the lectionary with all the parables and all this. And I said, well, they follow the lectionary, so I will just continue with the parables. And then Pastor Jason tells me, oh, and by the way, we're going to celebrate Mary, the mother of our Lord Jesus. And I said, okay, that doesn't work, right? This is a different passage, and I really need to think now what to preach. But doesn't matter, because we are here together to celebrate and to reflect in God's Word today. Tell me a story that makes my heart sing. Tell me a story that makes my heart sing. Those are the words that Australian missiologist Michael Frost said at one of his presentations at one of the larger conferences in the United States for church planters. And the name is Exponential Conference. But these words stay in my head and in my heart, because I think that these hearts are an invitation for us as we celebrate today this specific occasion of Mary, the mother of our Lord Jesus Christ. Michael Frost said these words because he was leading us in a study and a reflection about the church and why the church sometimes has gotten into patterns where the stories that we hear do not matter any longer. That they become stories, as many of the stories that we hear in our daily lives, and do not create in us, in our spirit, the passion to share the gospel in word and in action. He was telling us and challenging us to think in how is that in this day, in this context, under these circumstances, we are able to tell the story of the gospel in a way that the story makes the hearts of others sing. So yesterday I took my daughter to college. She's 21 years old. I can't believe that, and I'm still don't understand how it happened, but she's 20 years old now, and I took her to college because she's starting her senior year, which tell me two things. One is that she's really good, and the second thing is I'm really getting really old. But as I was leaving, I have been doing this for three years. This is the fourth year when I take her and I leave her and I come back and I go back to my regular routines during the day, during the weeks, during the months. But yesterday, as I was leaving, as I was driving away from the building where she is going to live, and she was standing by the front door, and I was looking at her, and this humongous building, and she looked like this size in front of the building, I was thinking and feeling, having, I would say, mixed feelings in my heart. In some way, I felt joy, because I can see her growing and becoming a young woman. And at the same time, I feel concerned, because I do not know the world that she is going to face as she grows, especially with the situation around us right now. And especially because she is one of these people that she calls herself a hybrid, because my wife is Taiwanese and I'm Mexican, and she was born in Texas. So it's complicated, but she calls herself a hybrid. In a world that seems not to appreciate the gifts that all the cultures and all the diversity that God has created have a value. At the same time, as I was driving away and almost wanted to hit the brakes, my memories took me to those stories when she was little, when I saw her growing, when my wife and I were planning for her and thinking what would be the best things for her. And those old stories were the stories that made my heart sing in a way that I was able to leave her with the assurance that she will be fine in the hands of the Lord, and I should walk away knowing that everything will be fine. And as I was driving back from Urbana, I was thinking of this passage. And I couldn't stop thinking about Mary. And I couldn't stop thinking about Mary as a mother. Especially when we look, and I'm going to go fast forward the gospel that we read today and go into chapter 11 now, see how fast I go. So to chapter 11 now, where the parallel gospel in the gospel according to Mark chapter 3 is that Jesus is in a house and people are around him and he is healing and talking and teaching and maybe creating some sort of revolution inside the house to the point that his mother and his brothers hear about and they come to look for him and they are maybe want him to go back home and to say, slow down. Don't do this. Be careful. So I was thinking about Mary as a woman, Mary as a mother, and the concerns that she had for her son, for the decisions that he was making. But at the same time, I wonder that if I had the opportunity to ask Mary, what was going through your heart and through your heart and through your mind when you saw Jesus as a grown-up man, preaching and teaching and leading all these people, and you look back to the song that you sang with Elizabeth that day, and when you said, my soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior. How do those words speak to you today, and what do they mean today? And I believe that Mary will answer with the same words by saying, and yet My soul magnifies the Lord. It was not an easy journey for Mary as a woman. I believe that there were many questions along the way. In fact, if we read in Acts chapter 1, verse 14, we will find out that in the end, when the disciples are all gathered, she is with them praying before Pentecost. That the questions, the concerns, the joys, and everything that was going through her heart and through her mind have come to the understanding of what God had called her to be and to become and to be part of. That Mary was part of a larger story, that she couldn't see the day that Gabriel came to her and said, hey Mary, by the way, do you know that this is going to happen to you? Mary had said yes in the midst of the uncertainty, in the midst of illogical and irrational announcements from an angel. She learned, she knew that she had been favored with God and that God had said yes to her first. So my question is then, what made her say yes? In spite of all these uncertainties. If you notice, Mary's answer in the verses previous to the passage that we read today, Mary answers to the angel, here am I, the servant of the Lord. Chapter 1, verse 38. And as I was reading these words, I rediscovered, because I knew it at some point, and I don't remember when, but I remembered that the word servant in the version of the Bible that we are reading today, it is not actually servant. The translation from the Greek, the original text of the New Testament, it is doulas, which is slave. Here am I, the slave of the Lord. And I think that maybe the word slave was slightly changed to servant, because I know that word in our context in today may have some negative connotations that will not help us to connect what Mary was saying then with what is happening today. But let me step back a little bit and let's think about this together. By the way, I ask questions. I haven't asked any question so far, but I'm just warning you. I'm going to ask you some questions, so be ready to answer. And these are not rhetorical questions, these are real questions. So let's step back a little bit. If you remember, in the story before the Magnificat, before the passage that we read today, the evangelist gives us some sort of background of who Zechariah and Elizabeth were. They were in a priestly family, and they were righteous people. But when we look at Mary, there is no reference of what she did, or she was qualified, if she had the qualifications to be favored by God or with God. The only reference that we have in the gospel is that she was what? A woman. A young woman who made things a little more difficult for her. That is the only qualification that the gospel tells us that Mary has. Therefore, her response denotes that she has realized two things when she was called. One, that her life is solely or is under the authority of God solely, no more. Whom she belongs to. Who she is a slave of. And again, if we understand the word slave as someone who belongs to the other and whose will is on the person, that tells us what Mary feels in relationship to God. She belongs to God, and God owns her, and her life and God's authority is the authority that will lead her life. What else can she desire than to be under the will and the authority of a merciful and gracious God who has chosen her, who didn't give him the chance to think about it? She was willing to serve because God has said, I chose you. I say yes to you. And also she realizes that no human can claim her and give her the blessing and the honor that she has received, but only God. As a slave, she belongs to God, and God has chosen her. And then, because of that, she chooses to serve God. In response of what God has done first. I mean, as we are celebrating the 500 years of the Reformation, and we talk about grace, isn't this what we believe in our Lutheran tradition? That God has said yes first to us, and that we live a life in response of what God has done for us. Daniel Strickland, who is a leader in the Salvation Army Church, who is also one of the speakers at this big conference, was telling us that once we open up to the Spirit as Mary did, we need to be willing and open to the interruptions of the Spirit. And she goes and says this, and says, do you know what? I think the Spirit is a woman. And well, why? Because she likes to interrupt. Is what she said. I'm quoting what she said, okay? Don't. But how much truth is that? The Holy Spirit comes and disrupts our plans and our agendas and help us to align with God's dream and to be part of the story that God continues to write in us and through us for the sake of the world. Bishop Miller puts it another way. And Bishop Miller says, grace is the unconditional love of God that does two things. One, embraces us the way that we are, but also calls us to become something more than we have ever been before. And I think that this is what is happening in the life and the journey of Mary. The gospel story tells us that the Holy Spirit was with her and with Elizabeth. Some scholars said that the words that we read today in the gospel are actually Elizabeth's words. Some other scholars said that they are Mary's words. Okay, let's not get into this, conflict here. Let's just say that this is Mary's, okay? But don't tell anybody else, okay? I'm going to use this as Mary's words today. Mary's response is inspired by the Holy Spirit. By the Holy Spirit, so that she will proclaim God's might and power in an environment marked by violence, domination, disregard for the least, and in which people are oppressed, repressed, and suppressed. It is in that context that Mary is able to say, my soul magnifies the Lord. The Spirit has transformed this uncertain young woman into an interpreter of the story that God has been writing. A disciple and a prophet and a mother who praises God and thanks God and invites us to do it today to do the same. In everything that we do, in everything that we say, wherever we go, whatever God calls us to be. She is free from the dominion of the forces in this world that put her in boxes and to say that she is nobody or nothing. She is free now to proclaim and to be the voice of the Spirit, to remind us and to remind generation after generation what God has done and will continue doing in us and through us. As a prophet, she praises God for God's actions in her life and in the people's life. And she proclaims the reversal of the current human patterns of power and domination. And she reminds us that as much as the powerful think that they are in control, they need to remember that God has already done it. That God has already put them down and left them alone in the hearts of their thoughts. They may think what they want, but the truth is that in Christ we have been made free. At the same time, my brothers and sisters, I believe that the words that we have read today, the words of the Magnificat, are prophetic words that encourages us, gives us hope, sends us, but also that challenges us to think about ourselves and where we put ourselves sometimes. I mean, when we hear about, you know, the mighty and powerful, sometimes our human nature makes us think, yeah, the powerful and the mighty, those people. But how can we talk about the mighty and the powerful and the arm of God and the might of God who removes them from their thrones? When we talk about defense budgets of $650 billion, how can we talk about this song in a context where 800 military bases in 70 plus countries are still around? How can we talk about the hungry being fed with good things when in this country we threw away and waste 30 to 40% of the food that we have? How can we talk about this when we know that 50% of the produce in this country are wasted? And that if we were able to recover all this food that is wasted, we would be able to put 2,000 calorie diet for 84% of the population in this country. How does these words are prophetic for us in our daily living, in our patterns, in our actions? These are words that strengthen us and give us life, but at the same time reminds us who we are, whose we are, and what God hopes for us. As interpreters of the good news, my brothers and sisters, God has already done it. This is the joy that we have. We don't need to worry, but to be free, to live freely, proclaiming in words and in action this grace. The Spirit is constantly interrupting us to bring about a life, to help us to align with God's dream. And I know that you as congregation in this weekend spend some time together asking these questions. wondering what the Spirit is leading us and discerning together how is that we are going to allow that the Spirit interrupt us and sometimes disrupt us in order that we may better reflect what God is calling us to be and to become. So that our lives as congregation may be a light that make others' hearts sing and proclaim the goodness of the Lord. How will we tell the story so that others' hearts will sing and experience the creative and life-giving power of God? This is a question not only for you and for me as individuals, or for you and me as community of faith, but also for us as a synod, as a church. Especially when we talk about these times right now, in this city, in communities around us, where violence, death, segregation, discrimination, rhetoric and policies, and racist acts that are tearing apart families and communities. How are we being, and how will we continue being part of God's vision for the world, in which people are fed with good things and the least are placed in places of honor in our society? Mary told the story in a new way, in a way that made others' hearts sing, in a way that her story is here with us today, in a way that we are invited to tell it again. So that, with the power of the life-giving and creative Spirit, we will be living lives that cause questions and curiosity, and we will be able to tell the story to others and make the hearts sing. My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in my God, our Savior. Amen.